Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Me'ilah Daf Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this month. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur opens at the very top of Daf Vav. In fact, it is a direct continuation of the topic we were discussing during our last shiur. We had started a discussion concerning what is meant by Yesh Heter LeKohanim as being the means or the point in a sacrificial ceremony whereby Mi'ilah is no longer a problem for Kodshei Kodshim. We had seen Rabbi Yoshua quoted in the Mishnah as saying that any sacrifice that reached a point known as Heter LeKohanim, there is no longer any Mi'ilah. We had seen on Daf Hei the opinions of Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan, Chizkiyah saying that it must reach Heter Shechita, at which point, if something goes wrong with the korban afterwards, no problem. As long as the Shechita was done, the slaughter was done, problem-free. Rabbi Yochanan says, that's not enough, but it has to reach a point of Heter Achila, which means that the Shechita, the slaughtering, the Kabbalah, the receipt of the blood, and the sprinkling, all would have had to be done beheter. If that were the case, then afterwards there is no longer Mi'ilah, even though later on there develops a problem with the korban, like Lina, Tuma, or Yitziah. At this point, we encounter an inverted triangle, and these triangles were explained back on Daf Hei Amud Aleph. This is an attempt to show, in the direction of Shitas Rabbi Yochanan that we saw in Daf Hei, that it is necessary to reach a Heter Achila, a point at which the Kohanim could actually eat from the meat of the sacrifice in order for us to now say there is no longer Mi'ilah. In addition to the inverted triangle, there is a new marking, this crown shape. This is featured under our Mivne heading that you'll find on the outside margin, where we have noted Simun Zeh, this marking, Mu'ad, is designed, Litzor Kesher, to form a connection between Makoros 4 and 5. Al Pi Rashi Lekamon, this idea of connecting sources 4 and 5 is based on a comment made by Rashi in Dibur Masl Toshma Rabbi Shimon. So now, as we said, we're really continuing in a sugya that if anything we've said till now lacks clarity, then it would be necessary to go over that which we learned on Daf Hei. Let's continue now with this source, Toshma, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yesh Noisar Shemoyalin Boy, V'yesh Noisar She'ein Moyalin Bo. There is a situation of Nosa where there could be Me'ilah, and a situation of Nosa where there is no Me'ilah. Nosar is the term used for a korban, a sacrifice that was left over beyond its proper time for consumption. So the Brisa, this source is telling us that there are cases of Nosa where there is Mi'ilah and cases where there is none. Ketzad, lon lifnei zriko mayalin boi. If it was left over before the blood sprinkling, there is Mi'ilah. Le'achar zriko ein mayalin bo. If the zrika had taken place and after that the meat was left over, then there is no longer Mi'ilah. Katoni mihas moyalin bo. It says over here that in the case of lon lifnei zrika, there is Mi'ilah. Now, what does that show us? Lav dehave sheus lemizrake? Is it not so that there was sheus, means there was time to have done the zrika? De'i bo'i zarek, had he wanted to, he could have done the zrika, which we call that it's oimed lizrok, and as such, as we learned in our previous shiur, that where you have something that is could be nizrak, we would say kezorog domi. It's as if it achieved the heter zrika, And the only problem then is that why is there still milah, even though you reach the point of heter zrika, and the reason that there still is milah is because you didn't do an actual zrika. Ushma mino, and from this we conclude heter achila shoninu, that you have to achieve a point at which it would be mutter to eat from the sacrifice. That's called heter achila. And since you didn't do the actual zrika, so you didn't achieve the heter, the ability for the kohen to eat of the meat, and therefore there is still mi'ilah in this case of kodshei kodshim. Notice the double underline. This is a marking that we featured in our previous sukya, also a continuation of the use of this double underline to highlight the attempted conclusion of what level of heter one needs to achieve in order to extricate the korban from the realm of mi'ilah. The Gemara now rejects this and says, loi, not so, not like we said, not like we explained, namely that there was enough time to do this rika, rather, the kibble somuch lishkia sachamo, the lo hoya shehus lemizrak. This source is talking about a sacrifice that was slaughtered seconds before sundown, so that if it was sacrificed seconds before sundown, the blood was mekubal, it was miskabel in a kli, it was collected in the vessel held by the neck of the animal, which we call kabola sadam, but there was no time for doing the actual zrika. So we can't say that it was omeid lizrok, that it had reached a point where you could have even done zrika. So that the lacking here and the reason for the mi'ilah, we would explain now, is that it didn't reach heter zrika. And as a result, as Rashi says, we can't say that it was omeid lizrok, that it was destined to be nizrok, because zrika can be done only before sundown. It's a daytime activity. Avol hoya sheus mai. Let us say that there was enough time. Then what would the din be? Hachi nami de'ein moyelin. Are you suggesting then there would have been no mi'ilah, that all you need is heter zrika, and then we can say that kol ha'omeid lizrok kizorok domi? Well, then if that were the case, in other words, if this approach is true, my irya detoni lifnei zrika. Why does the language of the source say that expression, namely before the layover was before the sprinkling? Listni, it should have featured or emphasized kodem shkia liachar shkia. Namely, the source should have read that if he was mekabel the dam before shkia, then it was omeid lizrok. Then there was a potential for the zrika. And la'achar shkia, meaning he was mekabel the dam after shkia, so then it wasn't omeid lizrok. Shouldn't that have been the emphasis? In other words, let's go over this point again. If you want to say that the point of heter l'kayhanim is heter zrika, so it would have been simpler to say that if he was mekabel the dam before shkia, assuming not like our example before about a couple of seconds, but he was mekabel the dam before shkia with enough time to do the zrika, so then there would be no mi'ilah. If he was mekabel the dam after shkia, whereby there was no option of doing the zrika, so that is the case where there is mi'ilah. Now, it doesn't say it this way, therefore it leads us to question the suggestion that the Kabbalah Saddam was done b'somach l'shkia, and rather it would direct us back to the original approach that it's really that the lawn case was that he had already done the actual zrika. The Gemara says, no, let us preserve this approach, the rejection approach of kiblei somuch lishkia, and say as follows, hochi nami kotoni. This really is the intention of the source. Kodem, when the source speaks about lifnei zrika and liachar zrika, it's really to be read as follows, or to be understood as follows. Kodem shi yeroeh lizrika, if he was makabel the dam before it was ready or fit for zrika. Namely, what does that mean? He was makabel the dam after shkia. That's kodem shi yeroeh lizrika, and that's what the source says. Lifnei zrika moyalin bo, because he was makabel the dam at a point where it wasn't fit to have done the zrika. And when it says in the source li'achar zrika, it means he was mekabel adam li'achar shiroeh lizrika, after it, he was mekabel adam at a point that it would have been fit to have done the zrika. Namely, mekabel adam before sundown, and as such, we can then insist on the explanation of heter zrika, which, by the way, just to tie into daf hey, this would then support Rabbi Zeira's approach. If to appreciate that, you'll have to look back to the third line from the top of daf hey omer aleph, where Rabbi Zeira said that the most meduyuk approach is heter zrika. Continuing toshma, the piece of Gemara that follows now, Rashi points out that the style is a replica of what we have just done in number 4. So we bring a Tanaic source, Toshma, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yesh Pigul Shemoyalin Boy, Yesh Pigul She'ein Moyalin Bo. There are cases of Pigul where there will be Me'ilah, and cases of Pigul where there is no Me'ilah. Just to review for many of you, you already know this, but Pigul is a situation where a sacrifice is processed with an incorrect mindset, with an idea or an intent to eat the korban or do a zrika sadam on the korban after the right time, beyond the right time. So there are cases of pigul where a korban, let us say, is shechted with this incorrect mindset, this out-of-time mindset, that there will be Mi'ilah, and sometimes you can have a Pigol-type korban, and there is no Mi'ilah. Kesad, so, he says, Lifnei Zrika Moyalin Bo, La'achar Zrika Ein Moyalin. Kotoni Mi'as, now it says in this source, Lifnei Zrika Moyalin Bo, that if there was, if you are before Zrika, there still will be Mi'ilah. What does this mean? Lav dehave shehus limizrike. Is it not so that you have a korban that was shechted, let us say, with a pigol mindset, and there was time in the day to have done the zrika? The e-boy zorik, had he wanted to, he could have done the zrika, so that you reached a stage in the korban processing where zrika could have been done. V'katoni moalin. Then there still is mi'ilah. In other words, you see from here that it's not enough for it to be oimed lizrok in order to achieve a heter or a non-mi'ilah, to get out of the realm of mi'ilah. You have to go beyond. You have to have done the actual zrika. Ushma mino heter achila shoninu. From here, you see that what's necessary is to reach a point in time of heter achila, which is reflected by the actual zrika having taken place. There's a comment made by Rashi, which for many of you will have a lot of significance, especially if you've been reviewing Maseches Me'ilah carefully and have been zoicha to remember some of the previous sugyas. Rashi points out that this idea that a zrikas hadam on a korban that has been shechted with an incorrect, with a pigul mindset, can be effective in extricating something from the realm of Mi'ilah. That is against the approach of Rav Gittel back on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. So that if you feel that you're learning something that doesn't jive with something you may have learned before, don't worry about it. We're learning a piece of Gemara that is in opposition to Rav Gittel's approach. But all that having been said, what we see here is that you would have needed to have done the actual zrika to have extricated the kotche kotchim, in this case, from the realm of Mi'ilah. The Gemara rejects this, just like we did above, loy. The case here is featuring a situation where he had shechted this korban right before Shkiyas Hachama, where he wouldn't have had, he didn't have time to do the Izrika. But if he had shechted it with ample time to have done the Zrika, then what would you say? Are you suggesting then it would have left the realm of Mi'ila? Well, my irya detani la'achar zrika. Why does the source feature the actual action of sprinkling? The source should have emphasized the time issue. Listen, kaidem shkia la'achar shkia sachama. It should have said that he was mekabel adam. If he was mekabel adam before shkia, then it would have been oymed lizrok, and then no mila. If he was mekabel adam after Shkia, so it was never Omeid Lizrok, and therefore there is Mi'ila. Why doesn't the source say that? The Gemara answers, like we answered before, Hachi Nami Ka'omar. That really is the intention of this source. When it speaks about Lifnei Zrika and Lachar Zrika, it really means Kodem Shi Yiro'e Lizrika. If there was Kabo Saddam before, it was fit to have done the Zrika, which basically means Kabo Saddam was done after Shkia. So then, there is Mi'ila. And when the source says Li'achar Zrika, it means La'achar Shira'e Lizrika. He was Mekabel Adam after a point in time that it was fit to have done the Zrika. That means before Shkia Sachama. So that, according to this rejection, like we said before, the source really could have reflected that which Rabbi Zeiro said, that the Iker, the main thing is to achieve Heter Zrika in order to extricate the Korban from the realm of Mi'ila. Toshma, number 6. Again, an inverted triangle, trying to show, like Rabbi Yochanan, that we need to achieve Heter Achila, which basically means an actual Zrika would have to have been done in order for a korban to be no longer in the realm of Me'ila when you're dealing with Kodshei Kodshim. Toshma hapigul b'kodshei Kodshim moyalin. My love, the Zorak. Is it not so that Zrika was done? And here we have to emphasize that we want to make an inference that had it not been pigul, had it been kosher, a korban shechted with a correct mindset, with a kosher mindset, and zrika had been done, and even though you didn't do zrika, there would be no mi'ila. Let's go over that point again, because we have to say it more accurately. We are saying here, my lav de Zorak, that there was an actual Zrika done, and the reason that there is Mi'ila is because it was a Pigul Korban. However, had an actual Zrika been done on a non-Pigul Korban, there would be no Mi'ila. But we see that you nevertheless will have had to do Zrika. Ushmamino heter achilo shaninu. By emphasizing that this assumption that Zrika would have had to have been done, we're telling you that if not for the Pigul, then you would have been able to extricate the Korban from the realm of Mi'ila. Like Rabbi Yochanan said, Loi, the Gemara rejects that, the Loi Zorak. He didn't do Zrika. The inference that we could make, had it not been Pigul, even if you didn't do the actual Zrika, you simply did the Kabbalah Saddam, it would have been extricated from the realm of Mi'ila, because Heter Zrika Shonido, like Rabbi Zeira. Avol Zorak Mai, had an actual Zrika been done, and before actually we go on, let us look at the Rashi, when we see a double star in the Rashi, going on this point where we say Lo de Lo Zorak, Avol Elon Shiniskabel Bikli Ubepigul Hu the Lo Amrinon Kazorok Domi, because it's Pigul, so we don't say that it's like Zorok. Ha Bekosher, had it been a Korban that's kosher, Amrinon Kazorok Domi, the Heter Zrika Shoninu. That had there been Kabbalah Saddam on a kosher Korban, then it would have been no longer subject to Mi'ilah, because all you need to achieve is the Heter Zrika. And that would have been like Rebbe Zera. Rashi continues, Avol Zorak Mai, had Zrika had taken place, then Hochinami Debaya Lememar Dein Moilin Bipigal. Are you going to say that had Zrika been done on a Pigal Korban, the only reason that this source is saying by the Pigal there is still Mi'ilah is because Zrika had not been done. But had Zrika been done, are you going to say there would be no Mi'ilah, even though you're dealing with Pigal? Well, then, that leads us into another question. In other words, this rejection approach, whereby we rejected Heter Achila and set up the source whereby he didn't do Zrika, and leaving us room to infer that had he done Zrika on the Pigal, there would have been no Mi'ilah. The Gemara goes on, my iria detani, why then does the seifa, does the latter part of this source teach bekotshim kalim ein moalin bo? When you're dealing with the realm of kotshim kalim, there is no mi'ilah. Listen, you could have stayed within the realm of kotshe kotshim and taught as follows. Kan lifnei zrika. If you're dealing with kotshi kotshim and not have done the zrikas hadam, so there is mi'ilah. Kan li'achar zrika. Staying within the realm of kotshe kotshim and pigal, you have pigal kotshe kotshim, but actually did do the zrika, so there would be no mi'ilah. Once again, the question is, if you're setting up this, what we call the resha that deals with kotshe kotshim, and explaining why there is mi'ilah, and that's because you didn't do the zrika. By the way, all of that was in an attempt to infer that had it been a kosher korban, even if you didn't do the zrika yet, it would be out of mi'ilah, because heter zrika shaninu. That is all fine and good, but that there still is room to infer that in the realm of Pigal Bekotshe Kotshim, the reason there is Mi'ilah is because you didn't do the Zrika. Had you done the Zrika, even though you're dealing with the realm of Kotshe Kotshim, it would have been effective in getting it out of the realm of Mi'ilah. So that within the realm of Kotshe Kotshim, we could have made a distinction. If the Zrika was not done, so there is Mi'ilah. If the Zrika was done, then there is no Mi'ilah. So there you have a very nice distinction made, showing a contrast. Yes, yet there is Mi'ilah versus there is no Mi'ilah. Staying within the realm of Kotshe Kotshim, why does the Seifa of that source, of source number 6, why does the Seifa, the latter part, lapse into another realm, namely the realm of Kotshim Kalim, in order to convey the message or the example of Ein Moalin Bo? Therefore, we are holding right now by a question. The Gemara answers, Ho Asya La'ashme'inen. Before we go further, Rashi is very helpful here. We have a triple star in the Rashi. Vadai hochinami motzi toni. In fact, we could have taught just like we just suggested. In other words, show a distinction within the realm of kotshe kotshim. That could have been done. And velo itzterich seifa. And really, we didn't have to teach the seifa of kotshim kalim ein molin, but because we could have shown you a case of within kotshe kotshim ein moalin bo. The Gemara continues, ha asa lashminan, kol la'asuye lidei mi'ilah, where you're dealing with the realm of bringing something to mi'ilah, that applies to kotshim kalim. With regard to kotshim kalim, korbonos like shlomim, a korban toida, b'chor, these are korbanos that there is no mi'ilah on them until you shech them and do zrika sadam, whereby the emurim, the innards which are brought onto the mizbeach, onto the altar for burning, they will be eventually subject to mi'ilah. So that's an issue of bringing something to the realm of mi'ilah. So with regard to bringing something to the realm of Me'ila, Zrika ketikna maisi lidei Me'ila. A proper Zrika brings it to the realm of Me'ila, and not a Zrikas pigol. Not a sprinkling of dam on dam of the sprinkling of the blood of a korban that's pigol. However, kol la'afuke midei me'ila, when you're dealing with extricating something from the realm of me'ila, which is the case by kodshei kodshim, those are sacrifices of a high level sanctity like a korban chatas, a korban osham. They start off with at the starting point when you sanctify them, they have an iser me'ila that applies, and the issue concerning kodshei kodshim is alafuki, getting them out of the realm of me'ila. Here the chiddush is afilu shelo ketikno nami mifka midei me'ila. You could have a sprinkling of the blood. It's a case of sprinkling shelo ketikno, because you're doing the zrika, you're doing the sprinkling of a pigol korban, of an unfit korban, but that too is effective in getting it out of the realm of me'ila, which, as we mentioned earlier, is unlike Rav Gittel's approach in Daf Gimel Amud Beis, that said you'd have to have a zrika, that a zrika's pigol is ineffective. Here we're saying, unlike his approach, but a zrika's pigol is effective. So, to sum up, as far as source number 6 is concerned, we don't have a conclusive conclusion that it's heter achila. Really, all you need to achieve to get something out of the realm of me'ila would be a heter zrika, and it could have, in fact, made a statement of contrast within the realm of kodshei kodshim. Sometimes there is me'ila, namely that you hadn't done the Zrika yet. Had you, yes, done the Zrika, there would be no Me'ila, all within the realm of Kodshei Kodshim. If you'll ask, why does the Seifa teach the realm of Kodshim Kalim? That is to convey the point that when you're dealing with bringing something to the realm of Me'ila, you'd have to have a Zrika Kshera, not a Zrika's Pigol. However, when you're dealing with kachim, kachay kachim, the chiddush is even a zrikas pigol will be effective in getting it out of the realm of me'ila. We now turn to Amud Beis and see a new Mishnah, realizing that as far as the shaila of understanding Rabbi Yoshua in the Mishnah of Kol Sheyesh L'Heter L'Kohanim is Ein Bo Me'ila, what does Heter L'Kohanim mean? So we've been exposed to a number of different possibilities, ranging from Heter Shechita through Heter Zrika, and finally the approach of Rabbi Yochanan of Heter Achila. But as far as something conclusive regarding a basis in a Tanaic source, it's hard to say that you see anything conclusive regarding that machlokes. So we can say the machlokes remains. We continue now with the Mishnah on Amud Beis. Before we learn the Mishnah itself, the Mishnah, by the way, lasts half of the Amud, let us glance at the outside margin for our Nosei Mivneh heading. We have broken the Mishnah up into Roman numerals 1 and 2, and used a double underline as well to feature the two headings. Shnei Mikrim, we have written in the outside margin under the Nosei Mivneh. Nosei is the topic heading, Mivneh structural note, which we combine into one here. These are Shnei Mikrim Shel Yotzei Shebohem Chokin Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Akiva. Two cases of something leaving the Azora. Yotzei has to do with leaving the Azora where something is, where sacrifices are to remain, especially when you're dealing with, we'll see, Kodshei Kodshim and the Emurim of Kodshim Kalim. So we have a diamond that features the word Yotzei. You could glance at the Mishnah, you'd see these two diamonds emphasizing that word. She Bohem Chokin Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Akiva. Two cases that there will be this machlokis, a machlokis between the Tanoim, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. Case number one, Basar Kodshei Kodshim, the meat of Kodshei Kodshim, meat of high-level sanctity sacrifices, is not to leave the Azora. The Kohanim eat those sacrifices in the temple courtyard. It's not to leave the Azora. Number two, Emure Kodshei Kodshim Kalim, These are the innards of lower level sanctity sacrifices. The emurim are brought onto the mizbeach to be burnt, and they are not to leave the azora. The meat of kodshim kalim can leave the azora; it's eaten within Yerushalayim. But where the focus right now is on the emurim, the innards of the low level, light level sanctity korbanos. So our note goes on saying, Ma hashpoas zrikas hadam alehem. What effect does the sprinkling of the blood of korbanos like this, where there was yotze that took place, that before the zrika took place, the korban left the azora. What effect does the zrika have alehem legabi? 1. Mi'ila. 2. Tomei. 3. Nosar. 4. Pigol. Hagemora tevarer lomali shte dugmos. The Gemara later on will clarify why I have to have these two cases, Roman numeral 1 and 2, where the same machlokas seems to appear. There seems to be some level of repetition. So now, let us start the Mishnah. Basar kotshe kotshim, shiyotza lifnei zrikas damim, the meat of a high-level sanctity sacrifice, like a sin offering, a korban chatos, or an osham sacrifice, that left the azora before zrikas dam. And then it was brought back into the azora. And after it was brought back, the sprinkling of the blood took place. Rebbe Elazar Omer Moyalin Boi, there is still Mi'ila. This kind of Zrika was ineffective. Zrika is ineffective on Yotze, ineffective to take it out of the realm of Mi'ila. So since we're dealing with Kotshe Kotshim, the Mi'ila remains. V'ein chayovin olov mishum pigol v'noyser v'tomei. There will be no aveira of pigol, noyser v'tomei regarding this situation. In other words, according to Rebbe Elazar, only a zrikas kshera is koivea, establishes that there could be pigol, or the Isser of Nosar will apply, and the prohibition of eating this bituma will apply. Since the zrika was ineffective, and by, according to Rebbe Elazar, a zrika on a korban that was yotze is viewed as an ineffective zrika, so how does the ineffectiveness, how does this manifest itself? First of all, it won't enable the korban to leave the realm of Mi'ila. And second of all, there won't be these averos attached to the meat. These averos, we'll say, are characteristic of a kosher korban. So since there is this chisaron in that the zrika was done on boser that was yotze, it doesn't achieve, it doesn't reach a level where it will be subject to these offenses of pigol, noser, and tome. Rabbi Akiva Omer, ein moyalin boy. Rashi adds here, even if the meat wasn't brought back into the azora, the zrika is considered effective in getting the kotshe kotshim out of the realm of mi'ila. And by the same token, v'chayoven olav mishum pigol v'noyser v'tomei. In other words, the zrika of a yotze does establish the possibility of being over on pigol, noser, and tomei. Omar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, in order to argue his point, says, V'hare hamafrish chatosoi v'ovda. Rabbi Akiva's point is going to be to show that zrika is effective by yotze. By showing precedent for zrika as being effective for something, in another case, which we're going to learn right now, for something else that happens to be pasul. So Rabbi Kiva says, wouldn't you agree? If a person has set aside a sin offering, and it got lost, and he set aside a replacement animal, and then the original chatos was found, and both are now in his presence. He has two sin offerings in front of him. Loi kishem shedoma poter es besara, kachu poter es besar chaverta. Isn't it so that the sprinkling of the blood of the one that you choose as the one, the two animals, the one that you choose for the to serve as the atonement, isn't it so that the sprinkling of its blood is effective for itself and likewise effective for the other one, the korban that you are not using? Now, and that korban that you're not using is pusel. It's not a korban that you will be able to partake of. And yet, the zrika is effective because they're viewed like one entity. Impotar doma es besar chaverta min hami'ila, if the blood sprinkling of the one sacrifice exempts the other one from mi'ila, dinhu shiiftar es besar atzmo, then certainly it shall exempt itself. Let us go over this point by looking at the Rashi. Lo kishem shedoma poteres klomar. Iata moida, Rabbi Kiva says to Rabbi Eliezer, do you not agree? Shekishem sheoisa shenizrak doma poteres besar min mi'ila, kach poteres chaverta. Zu shelo nizrak doma min mi'ila, that the sprinkling of chatos number one is effective in exempting chatos number two from mi'ila. The kezevach echod, they're viewed as one entity. Shere yochol nizrak doma shel ezo mehen shiutza, because he has the option of sprinkling the dam of either one. He can choose either one. Since he can choose either one, they're viewed as one entity, and the sprinkling of the blood of one exempts the other one, the non-used sacrifice, from Mi'ila, it extricates it from Mi'ila. In Potar es Besar Chaverta, Rashi goes on, min ha-mi'ilo, afagav de psulahi, if the sprinkling of one exempts the other one, even though the other one is posel, it's an unfit sacrifice, to have your moisar chatos, it's considered a mosar chatos, which loosely translated would be something left over from a chatos. After all, this individual needed only one sin offering, and he lost one in the meantime, found a replacement one, found the original one, he only needs one of these two. And yet we see that the sprinkling of Chatos 1 exempts the other one from Mi'ila, even though it is an unfit sacrifice. Dinhu shiiftor zrikas doma besar shel atzmo min ha-mi'ila, afal pi shiesh bohen psul diotze. Then all the more so, when you're talking about the sprinkling of the dam for the korban itself that happens to have developed a psul, a deficiency, like in our case, the deficiency of it having left its precinct. After we have found something that you agree with, that the sprinkling of Korban 1 is so effective insofar that it affects the deficiency of a second Korban in extricating it from the realm of Mi'ila. We continue now in the Mishnah, after hearing Rabbi Akiva's argument, to case number two, Emure Kochim Kalim, Shiyotsu Lifnei Zrikas Domim, the innards of a Kochim Kalim sacrifice that left the Azorah before Zrikas Adam was done, and then you brought the innards back in. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ein Molin Bohen, the innards of Kodshem Kalim were, as we can say, were waiting to enter the realm of Milah, which is what happens when things are done properly. But Rebbe Lezer says, like we saw before, the Zrika on a Yotze is ineffective, and when you're dealing with the realm of Kodshem Kalim, the ineffectiveness is manifest by the fact that the Emurim don't enter the realm of Milah. Well, and that's what he says. And regarding those emurim, there won't be any avera of pigul nosor tome either, because the zrika was ineffective. So they're not viewed as, we'll say, kosher emurim, which would have been subject to pigul nosor tome. Rabbi Kiva Omer Moalin Bohen, that there is Mi'ilah regarding those Emurim, even though you're dealing with Emurim that had been Yotzei, the Chayovin Aleim, Mishon Pigol, Noser and Tomei, and they do carry with them the potential for Pigol, Noser, and Tomei as well. The Gemara asks, Vahani Tarti Lomali, why do I need to have these two examples, that those that we labeled Roman numeral number 1 and number 2, which in which each one there was featured the Machlokas, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Akiva? Tzrichi. Now, you'll note that we have a long marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You see the word Tzrichi written and encircled with a vertical descending dashed line, showing that all of these lines of Gemara serve to answer this simple question of why do I need both cases? We've also used a squiggle underline to show at which point each case is featured. The first one, the first section explains, Di'itmar b'kotshe kotshim, had I taught you the machlokas only by kotshe kotshim, I wouldn't have known what their real stance is with regard to the kotshim kalim, and likewise the other way around, and hence we've squiggled on Di'itmar gabi kotshim kalim. So the Gemara goes on now with the answer. Why do I need both cases? The E, itmar b'kotshe kotshim, had I featured the machlokas with regard to kotshe kotshim, havi amino. We should point out that we also have used this double underline with dots in it to emphasize havi amino, what I would have thought had I taught only one case. Actually, before we go any further in the Gemara, we should take advantage of the wonderful feature of the Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin, where you can see the squiggle underline is emphasized here to explain E, Itmar, etc. Had I taught you only one case, and also the double underline, Havi Amina. Hezber la Mishnah lomahim lamedes machlokes Rebbe Elazar v'Rebbe Akiva pamayim. Why does the Mishnah teach this controversy twice? B'shtei adugmois, regarding these two examples of one b'psar kotshe kotshim and b'emurim kotshim kalim. So now we can go back to the Gemara. The itmar b'kotshe kotshim. Had we taught this machlokes only within the realm of kotshe kotshim, havi amino, I would have thought the ha, ka'am Rebbe Elazar mo'alin boy, I would have thought that only in this case does Rebbe Elazar say that the zrika was ineffective, mishum de zrika, because regarding zrika, ketikna mafka midei me'ila, a proper zrika gets it out of me'ila, shelo ketikna lo mafka midei me'ila, improper zrika, namely you're dealing with a yotze where the korban had left the azara, so it's lo ketikna, it's not proper, it doesn't extricate it from me'ila. Avol, however, la suye lidei me'ila, but to bring something into the realm of me'ila, this would be a chumrah. This would be an example of a stringency whereby the Emurei Kotshim Kalim are being brought into the realm of the Mi'ilah violation potential. So in a case like that where you're dealing with a stringency, I would have thought Moida the Rebbe Akiva, that Rebbe Elazar would concede to Rebbe Akiva da filu shelo ketikna maisa lidei Mi'ilah, that even a zrika done under problematic circumstances, under like we have this case of Yotzei, would have in fact been effective. Because, after all, we're going in the direction of a stringency, and so that we won't follow the letter of the law, but rather we'll seek the strict approach to things. So I would have thought that maybe in that case, Rebbe Elazar will concede that even a zrika shelo ketikna will be effective in leading to the stringency of having the emurim of kotshim kalim subject to me'ilah. The Itmar Gabi Kotshim Kalim, and had I taught the Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar only with regard to Kotshim Kalim, Have Amino Gabi Kotshim Kalim, who the Omer Rabbi Akiva Moilin Bohen. I would have thought that only in the realm of Kotshim Kalim will Rabbi Akiva say that there will be Mi'ilah, even though it's a Zrika Shalo Ketikna, the Afilu Zrika Shalo Ketikna Maisa Lidei Mi'ilah, that Zrika done under problematic circumstances brings it to the realm of Mila, because that is a stringency. Avo kotshe kotshim tila fukehu. But with regard to a Zrika shelo ketikna, an improper circumstances of Zrika, problematic Zrika circumstances, like is the case of Yotze, and the goal is to extricate it from the realm of Mila, shelo ketikna lo mafko midei Mila. I would have thought that Rabbi Akiva would concede to Rabbi Elazar that we can't be so lenient in allowing it to be effective in getting it out of the realm of Mi'ilah. Komash Malon, therefore, the case of Kotshe Kotshim has to be featured as well, that Rabbi Akiva does not concede and will tell you that Zriko Shelo Ketikna is effective, and in that case, in fact, there is a kula, there is a leniency within Rabbi Akiva's approach. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new topic, and this is featured under the topic heading that you see in the outside margin, Divrei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's comment, Hal d'amar Rabbi Akiva de Zrika Mo'ila, Gam al Yotze, that which Rabbi Akiva says that Zrika is effective even in the case of Yotze, Hainu Bitnai, that is conditional, that the lo Yotze Kulo, that it didn't all go out, that only part went out. Let us read the beginning of this sugya through Rabbi Yochanan's point, and leaving the following discussion till our next shiur. So we open up Itmar Omar Rabbi Yochanan ki Omar Rabbi Akiva Zrika Moelis Yotze. When Rabbi Akiva said that Zrika is effective, Moelis means is effective in the case of Yotze, that's Shiotza Miksoso, only part of the meat went out of the Azor. Avol Yotze Kulo Lo Omar Rabbi Akiva, but if all of the meat went out of the Azora, it's like it's not there, and the Zrika will not be effective in getting it out of the realm of Mi'ilah. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.